Good evening. Welcome to the 1955 Kahlua Study Series. This is still Chapter 33, the second part. And the chapter is The Principles Every Infinite Way Student Must Know. And note that word must. Now, if you remember last week, we discussed the first principle, which in the way of a reminder is the secret of harmonious living is the development of spiritual consciousness. And we understand now that the development of spiritual consciousness means the conscious awareness of spirit, really. Because we were told that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that is a true principle. But it's incomplete unless we put with it where the Spirit of the Lord is realized, becomes real, becomes an actual living awareness. There, then, is liberty. And so we understand from our studies to this point that if we have had simply an intellectual understanding of spirit, of Christ, of the presence, and yet have not made that contact, then of course liberty or freedom isn't there. But if we have the actual living awareness, the conscious awareness or realization of spirit, then the freedom of Christ appears. Liberty is there. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is realized, there is liberty. And no place else. At least not on a permanent basis. So, the development of spiritual consciousness means the practice you're putting forth now 12 times a day or as many times as you can until you begin to make that contact and have the conscious awareness. Later, of course, it will come upon you when you're not even trying to contact it. And still later, it will take over and begin living your experience. So that's principle one. And this week, let us be still, center down, be calm, and let us take under consideration principle number two. Since I and the Father are one, all that the Father hath is mine. Now, it becomes necessary to make a transition in consciousness. No one can do that for another. Everyone has to do this of their own accord. Am I that which receives, or am I that center from which the infinity of God flows out? In other words, am I the ignorant who sat at the feet of the Master waiting to be fed? Or am I the Christ that sits there and feeds the unillumined? And I wrote here in the margin, you must live this in daily action out here. You must act accordingly. You must prove it, live it, be it. And in that talk I made on Sunday, called Christmas 2008, I described the living of this principle, the living out of this principle in my life. Because I explained where I started as really almost an animal, totally selfish, self-centered, frightened, angry, vicious. And through this transition in consciousness, have at times reached that place of stillness within, where I have witnessed, I have beheld, the invisible flesh called Christ, flowing through consciousness and forming itself out here, feeding, giving, sharing, loving. Do you know that that was the exact realization that started this thing called mystical principles? Nothing was in existence at that time, except an inner feeling that perhaps it was time to let this wonderful thing flow out. And I had no idea how to do that. And so I went within in meditation and I asked, flow out. Just flow out. I don't care where or to whom. And the first place that it came, and I feel I can tell you because this is a closed class, was I got a copy of Consciousness Transformed, the 1963-64 Hawaii Hotel Talks. And it's a rather thick book, and as a matter of fact, it's out of print now. But I so loved it. I so loved it. Because it was just like listening to the tapes. It was edited very little. And there were gems in there. Things like the paragraph where Joel says, "It's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it." Oh, I could just hug that book to my heart. And so I tracked down who produced it. And I talked to a man named Alan, who was editor. And I asked him where I could make a donation, because this was so wonderful. I was receiving so much. And I made a donation. And Alan, after our emails, drove up here. He was putting on a class in Connecticut, and he drove up here and made it his business to stop by, and we met, and we hugged, and we meditated, and we spent time together. And I talked at one of his classes in Florida and Georgia, and I visited him in New Mexico after he moved. And the point is that this was the first step. All that I wanted to do was pour out something. Let this Christ function somehow. And out of that meeting and the invitation to talk at one of his classes came everything that's happened since, which is more classes in California, a list where we can feel safe and we can feel Christ's love. 200 and, I guess after these Kailua talks, we're going to be in the neighborhood of 300 talks. 3 books. Enough material for 10 more books. Thousands of friends, and the love flows both ways, all over the planet. And I suppose, truth be known, that one prayer, that one question, knocking within, O Christ, flow out to whomsoever will, has now circled the planet. Well, it can't happen. You know it can't happen. Yet it did. So, yes, principle number 2. Am I the ignorant who sit at the feet of the Master waiting to be fed, or am I the Christ that sits there and feeds the unillumined? Now in that, in the answer to that, lies your demonstration. We dare not ever look outside our own being for our good. We must always look upon ourselves as that center through which God or Christ is flowing, or Spirit. That's the function of the Christ, to be the instrument, or Son of God. And as we, individually, are that, then, whether it is to fulfill a spiritual need for you, or a physical need, or a financial need, we must be able to take the responsibility. I can feed 5,000. I can heal the multitudes. Do you know there have been almost 22,000 visitors to the Mystical Principles website? Granted, some have come 3 and 4, 5 times. Yet, if you divide that number by 4, it comes out to over 5,000. So here's a little literal example. That I within me, can feed 5,000. So never then will I attempt to demonstrate supply. Since the activity of the Christ itself is supply, then all I have to do is let it flow. Now, I can't do that if I refuse to meet the demands that are made upon me. Anytime I respond with, I'm too tired, I haven't enough understanding, I don't have enough in the bank, you might as well know you're not fulfilling the words that you're declaring. Do you see that? You have to take the attitude that since I and the Father are one, and I am the Christ or Son of God, then I am that place through which God flows, and so I can meet every demand that is made upon me. Of course, we all agree that's true if it were a spiritual demand, but that's not enough. We must meet the demands for loaves and fishes, for healings, for supply, any demand that is made upon us in a legitimate way. Do you see that? And I know we perhaps in the beginning don't see that, because we think that the demands made upon a human being. I tell you what the human being did. Over there across this room is a comfortable chair. The human being sat in that chair there, eyes closed, and said, "Of myself I am nothing. I have nothing to give. God, all I have to give you is myself. Please, you use me. Pour out that Christ." After that, the demands that come are on that Christ. If you learn how to make the contact, it's no longer a demand on you. And so one way that you might practice that principle is to remind yourself, Wait a minute. The demand's not made upon me. Well, that's right. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to work that hard. I don't have to work on this. Let me relax. Just let me relax. Let thy grace flow. And then be still until you make the contact. And then the demand really is made upon the Christ, and then the Christ really will fulfill the demand. And so whether it's pouring out words, whether it's pouring out service, pouring out prayers, or pouring out dollars, or pouring out things, It will be Christ's pouring out. There is a point, he says, of transition in consciousness from being a receiver of good to realizing that you are that point in consciousness through which the activity of God's good flows to those not yet aware of their true identity. And again, I repeat, today's talk, or Sunday's talk, Christmas 2008, was exactly all about this principle. And I didn't know it until just this minute that I had reached this point of transition in consciousness. And let's see, what did I write here? This truth must not just be voiced or known within. It must be acted upon without. At every point of our lives, the question must open up, what have I in my house? Do you see why we can go without person's grip? Wherever you may be called to be, because you carry with you the infinity of God, and it'll only be a few hours, minutes, and days, and it will begin to flow, if you are letting it pour out. And so this must become a developed spiritual consciousness. You start with, well, I feel like just a human being today, and I'm not sure, but they tell me if I make this contact, Christ itself will be upon the scene. So I'm going to go for broke. I'm going to practice this and practice this and practice this until I do make that contact. One day, one night, one beautiful moment, called Christmas, the Christ is born in your consciousness. It flows right into the manger of your mind, appears out here as fulfillment, peace, and joy. And you say, aha, I know now, I have made the contact. And then it happens again. And again, and again, and your life, it improves so fast you can hardly keep up with it. Supply flowing to you through channels all over the world. Love entering your relationships. Peace and harmony prevail. You say the right things at the right time. You become a sort of peacemaker within your family. Suddenly you find you have more energy than you used to have. You need a little less sleep. You're becoming healthy and you're not sure why. Or you might say it was your diet, or you might say it was the way you've been exercising, but that's not entirely true because you've done those things before. There's a new quality. There's a different quality. You can feel it. Your life is becoming wonderful. And then it hits you. Is this for me alone? Is it only for me, Lord? Well, I know I of myself am nothing. But making this contact, surely there must be some way that I can be an instrument for it to flow through to others. And you know you can't invent how you're going to do that. So you sit down. Again, you make the contact. And you have those periods that Joel invites you to have, where you just let it flow. You just let it flow. Then Christ flows and forms itself. And the next thing you know, in some way that you hadn't planned, you're pouring out to this universe. and you have become that which feeds the multitudes. Now you have the conscious awareness of what that means. You have the developed spiritual consciousness of that principle. All right. Principle number three for us is the power of constant conscious abiding in truth. And by now we know when he says the principles every Infinite Way student must know, he means the principles every Infinite Way student must realize. The principles which every Infinite Way student must have the conscious awareness of, which will become their developed spiritual consciousness. And so, let's look at the power of constant conscious abiding in truth. There has to be a conscious activity of truth going on all of the time. Now, that doesn't mean to neglect your human life. But we train ourselves to have some area of consciousness always active in truth. Whether we look out at passing nature or trees, flowers, oceans, or whether we are constantly meeting people, we are still active in our consciousness, finding some measure of God in the scene. We, you and I, have to train ourselves to behold the presence and activity of God around us and to abide in scriptural truth. That means we have to pray without ceasing. Now, the way that I first discovered that principle was, and you've heard the story, my first wife ran off with my best friend, well, one of my friends. And it hurt. Oh, God, how it hurt. And the only way I could drown out the images that were coming to my mind of him being with her and her being with him, and the only way I could drown out the pain of loss, the grief, was to pray without ceasing. And so I lived by myself, and I would talk to God out loud. Good morning, Father. How are you today? Just show me what you would like to do, and we'll do it. Otherwise, I'm going to do these dishes. And I walk over to the sink and start on the dishes. Here, God, I'm doing this one for you. I'm doing the very best I can. Look how it shines. I can see myself in it. And I put it in the dish drainer and pick up the cup. Just then, there's a scratching at the door. I put the cup down, I walk over to the back door, and I open it up, and I let in Sufi, my black cat. And in he walks and meows. I bend down. Hello, Father, how are you today? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I love you. And I give Sufi a drink and something to eat. And I walk into the living room, and there's a plant in a pot. Hello, Father, how are you today? Are you thirsty? I feel the soil, it feels a little dry. I give a drink to the plant. Here you go. I finish my chores. I sit down in my chair. I pick up a book. At that time, it was The Art of Meditation. I read a little bit. I put it down, I have a meditation. Meditation is finished. Father, let me know if there's something you would like to do. In the meantime, I'll just listen to a little music. Just then the telephone rings. It's Ray. Outside with my lips. Hi, Ray. How are you? Oh, he says, can I come over and talk? I've got a problem. Sure, come on over. I'll put the coffee on. Inside, where I'm praying without ceasing, because I have an area of my consciousness always involved in truth, I'm saying, Father, how may I be of service? Thy will be done. Make me an instrument of thy peace. I start the coffee. I clean up the living room a little bit. And there's a knock at the door. Hi, Ray. Come on in. He comes in. I give him a hug. While he's saying hello, I'm saying, Father, pour through. He sits down. He begins to share. I listen. I pray. Father, say something that will touch him. I know not what to say. He finishes speaking. What comes to me within, I say. I simply speak what I hear within. Wow, he says, I never saw it like that. Thank you. That makes perfect sense. I'll do it. We spend a little more time having our coffee, chit-chatting. He's up and he's on his way. He leaves. As he's heading out the door, he says, thank you. I say, oh, you know who to thank. And I send him on his way. I close the door. Father, what else? Is there something else you would like to do? You see, the end result was the pain and the images stopped coming to me on this woman because they were so totally drowned out in the personal conscious contact I had with God on an hourly basis. I just fell in love with God, that presence which was always within and without. And so I was living principle number 3. All right. Again, nobody can do that for you. That's really a form of practicing the presence. And it goes hand in hand, by the way. I can say to you, practicing the presence in that way and having these short meditations to make the contact, the two of these together will develop in you the conscious awareness of the living Christ. And then it, step by step, will make you its instrument until you reach that place where you can honestly say, now I know what that means. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. And that really is the development of Christ consciousness. All right, let's look at principle number 4. We must understand the nature of God as fulfillment. That's important. If we have a God of the Old Testament, of course, we're going to be in trouble. If we're going to be serving Lord or law. But what is this God as fulfillment? God as grace. He says we must understand that. Well, if we don't know what it is, of course, the first place I always go is within. What does that mean, God? God has fulfillment. But he says here, never think of God as that from which you expect to derive a good. Yes, that's the Santa Claus God. Never think of God as that which can bless mankind. There is no such God. Wow. Now, whenever he says something like that, my ears perk up and my intuitive faculty comes into play and it resonates and rings and I have to put the book down and contemplate and meditate. Wow, there is no such God. Now look at this. Never think of God as that which can bless mankind. There is no such God. Wow. The only God there is blessing everyone whose consciousness is open to God. Ah, there's that key again. There's that 12 times a day. That has to become even more important than breathing, almost, doesn't it? Man shall not live by breath alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, by that contact. Why? Because, as he said in other chapters, without that contact, we're the walking dead. Mortality means death. With that contact, with the infusion of Spirit of Christ, we're alive. We're the living sons of God, the living daughters of God, the living emanation of God. Think of that, the living emanation of God. We have a choice. We can be the mind spinning mental images that never leave the mind. That's captivity, isn't it? Or we can be the living, holy, spiritual emanation of God itself, the Word made flesh. That is the only time we are blessed. Only the Word can bless. There is no God to just reach out here and bless everybody indiscriminately. Where the Spirit of the Lord is realized, there is the Spirit, and only there. And so the only God that can bless is the God that blesses everyone whose consciousness is open to God. If we are not benefiting by the grace of God, it has nothing to do with God. So to understand that the nature of God is fulfillment means to understand that... No, that's not right. Let's change that. To understand that the nature of God is fulfillment means to have the conscious awareness of the Word becoming flesh as fulfillment. Your conscious awareness, once you've had the inner experience of making the contact, feeling that presence flow in, through, and as your consciousness, seeing how the mind interprets that and forms it as fulfillment out here, you have the secret forever of the Word made flesh, and from then on, you will live by that Word. I guarantee you, you won't be satisfied with anything else. So when you have that experience, then you understand God as the nature of God as fulfillment, as an experience. You have that developed conscious awareness, or that developed consciousness of that principle. If you do not abide in the Word, and let the Word abide in you, you are as a branch that is cut off and withereth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, none of the evils of the world comes nigh his dwelling place. So if you have evils coming nigh your dwelling place, you are not yet abiding in the secret place of the Most High. It's very clear, he says. And I wrote, it's very important, this principle. It's up to you. And so he's given us the principles to live. He's shown us that we have to practice this presence, and we have to make the contact with it, within, and allow it to flow out. Then we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And then none of the evils can come nigh our dwelling place. Which really means they can still appear, but they can't take root. They can't take root. They're dissolved when they touch our consciousness. They may still appear, but they will dissolve when they touch not your human consciousness, but this other presence within you. If you're dwelling consciously remembering it throughout the day, and consciously contacting it, and consciously watching it flow, any of these evils that appear, when they touch it, they dissolve. They don't take root. They don't stay very long. It's another one of those truths where we say, God is the only power. Or we say, this appearance has no power. That's not true. The appearance does have power when it's appearing to a human consciousness. The complete statement is, in the presence of the conscious awareness of Christ, this appearance has no power and is dissolved. It disappears. It dissipates. It cannot take root. It dissolves. So again, it goes back to the importance of making that contact. Maintaining your conscious awareness. Because then you're a branch that bears fruit richly. Then you're not just hanging out there connected to nothing, like the rest of humanity. Then you are a branch connected to the infinite invisible, your consciousness. Then that Christ consciousness is flowing into and through you, and you discover, well, I'll be. God is fulfillment. And none of these things can come nigh. At least they can't take root. They're dissolved pretty rapidly, pretty swiftly. And that consciousness, which is the word emanating, becomes flesh and dissolves everything unlike itself. So we start with a belief and a sense of separation from God. But we end with not a belief in oneness. Oh no. No. We end with no, not a thought about oneness. What do we end with, my family? Yes. Yes. We end with the conscious awareness of oneness. The conscious witness of oneness. The conscious beholding of oneness. A consciousness of the living oneness of I and my Father. The developed conscious awareness of oneness. And that's quite a journey, quite a transformation or transition in consciousness, as he calls it. Number five, he says, goes back again to the one of having, once we realize that since I and the Father are one, and all that the Father hath is mine, from that moment on we have to make ways for that good to flow out from us. And we're not going to go on from here this week. We're going to stop here. But I can't emphasize that principle there, and obviously he feels it's important too, because now he's mentioned it twice here and in two or three other chapters. You know, you have to live as Christ to demonstrate Christ. Or, in order to demonstrate Christ, you have to live as Christ, right? In one of the chapters in one of his books, he says, "For years and years, we have been talking about the Christ, reading about the Christ, thinking about the Christ, praying to Christ. Sooner or later, we have got to come into the actual experience of the Christ." And so it's very important for you to sit down, turn within, and ask, how would I be living if I was living as the Christ, or if Christ was living as me? What have I in my house to pour out? Do I really have the infinite invisible? Do I really have all that the Father has? How will I prove it? You know you can't prove you have something by clinging to it and burying it in your cellar. You know as good as I do the story about the man who buried the talents because he knew that God was a hard taskmaster. I think that's how we think sometimes. I've got to bury this for that date there because if I don't, I'm going to run out. Life is tough and I can't depend on anybody. You know, I was raised with those same teachings. They're baloney. Nonsense. I've got to actually reach the place where I am willing to let those ideas go and live on a new basis. I've got to stand in the face of whatever is being asked of me and realize, wait, I can feed 5,000. Not the I that's the human being, not my bank account or my cupboards or my freezer or my spare clothes. There's an infinite invisible. I can open out a way for it to flow forth. And I'd better do it within first by having this moment in which I just invite the Christ to flow for no reason at all. And then I better act on it. I better act as if I believe it. I better begin to pour out. Nobody's keeping track. Who cares how little it is, but you better pour out. Service, love, dollars, clothes, forgiveness, prayers. Then, when I'm living this principle within and acting on it without, Christ itself takes over, and I have demonstrated I can feed 5,000. I may have only fed 5, but I'm standing on this principle, and it will multiply. It works in an invisible way. It knows when you've made a commitment, and it just picks you up. Begins living you. But we have a scripture in the Bible, I think it's in Kings or somewhere in the Old Testament, and it says, "Act as though I am, and I will be, saith the Lord." So we must reach the place in our development where we rest in the principle, the I of me is Christ pouring forth, and then act on the principle, Christ is pouring through me. It takes prayer and action. You live this within and without until the two become one. Again, listen to If you haven't heard it, listen to the talk, Sunday's talk, Christmas 2008, because I went into this in great detail and expanded on this very principle. The first, what was it? Principle number 2, and now principle number 5. So you have both of them this week. Yes, principle number 2, which is, since I and the Father are one, all that the Father hath is mine. And principle number 5, which is, from that moment on, we have to make ways for that good to flow out from us. We'll start there next week. Listen to that talk, that other talk, Christmas 2008, and then live it. Just live it. Watch the transition, the transformation that takes place in you, first within your conscious awareness, and then out here as your living experience. Watch. Watch. You won't believe it. You will have the birth of Christ as your living life experience. And so it's fitting that this is the principle we end on when we are approaching the Christmas Eve of this year. It's just wonderful, the synchronicity. Thank you for listening. God bless you. I have done my best to wrap up the gift of Christmas and give it to you through these talks. If you open the gift and you accept it, your joy will be full. You will truly say in your heart, it is wonderful. It is marvelous. I have received the Comforter for all time. Thank you.